Well, if we stop and think about it, God has been good to us. Maybe you got, you know, God opened the doors for a new job or a better job, or maybe you got a promotion or a raise. Maybe God answered a long-awaited prayer, or a close relationship was answered, you know, was healed. Whatever the blessing we receive from God, we are encouraged to give thanks back to the Lord. We often forget that everything belongs to Him anyway. We think since we bought it or we made it or we worked for it that it's ours. But it's God who gives us the ability to work and to have things. Church family, with everyone doing their part in worshiping God through giving of His tithes, which is 10%, and our offerings, more can be accomplished for His kingdom. We're better together. We can accomplish more. So thank you for putting your trust in the Lord with your finances, as you were encouraged with Tom. I just want to highlight the water baptism class next Sunday, the 25th. We'll be in the study, 9:30, and there's a sign-up sheet down below if you're interested. It doesn't mean you're just kind of checking it out. You want to understand what it means, what's involved, and we'll answer all your questions that day. And the actual baptism is going to be September 15th, so not too far away. So we're excited about that. And then the church picnic. Last year was our first year for Julie and I to be a part, and it was a blast. And we've got some games lined up. Lisa's going to help us with that and some others. And we've got always good food. Everybody brings their best. And so we have a great time in the pavilion just hanging out. There's a playground for kids. I think that was the first time we saw the Max. They were there for the picnic. We got to hang out with them. And so bring somebody with you. Bring a lawn chair, as Paul said. And let's have a good time together in fellowship. Amen? Amen. Well, one Sunday after church, a mom asked her young daughter what the lesson was about. Her daughter answered, "Don't be scared, you'll get your quilts." Don't be scared, you'll get your quilts. The mom was perplexed. Later in the day, the pastor stopped by for tea to visit with them, and she asked him what the morning Sunday school lesson was about. And he said, "Well, it says, be not afraid, thy comforter is coming." Sometimes you hear things that the pastor never said. Awesome. Well, we are in a series, sermon series called What We Believe. What We Believe. We build our lives on the foundation of sand and what society believes, that right is wrong and wrong is right and up is down and down is up. Part one, we build our lives on the inspired foundation of the rock of God's word, the truth. And as the builder, right, we must build it ourselves. No one else can build a foundation for us. It's our responsibility. And as the builder, we must build it right. There are no shortcuts to building our foundation on the rock. And this is it right here. God's word. This is what it is. Part two, we looked at one true God. The one true God declared of himself that there is no other God. The Lord is one, meaning a unity of several parts. When Jesus, for example, was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove and God's voice spoke. So all three were in perfect in relationship and in unity. God has made it known to everyone his qualities, his power, and his divine nature. But people justify their beliefs and their immoral behaviors and they begin to suppress the truth and deny the truth of who God is. We're seeing that today even more so in our society. Only fools say there is no God. Only fools say in their hearts there is no God. I mentioned this last week. The Bible makes no attempt to prove God's existence. You see, it's assumed. As you look around, there has to be a creator. This doesn't just happen by accident. God is our creator. God created humanity when he said, "Let us," plural, "let us make human beings in our," plural, "image." So God created male and female. The universe is the confirmation of his existence. God is our redeemer. Jesus Christ redeems us from our sin when he died on that cross. I told you the story of Johnny and his boat that he lost and found again. See, God thinks you're his, twice his, right? First, because he made you, and second, because he bought you with the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ. God can be found. God can be found. If we search for Him with all of our heart, He can be found. All truth leads to God because He is truth. If you're sincerely looking, who is this Jesus? Who is this God? And you begin to search Scripture to find out who He is, you'll find Him. You'll find Him. He'll meet you there. Have you ever met someone, as you got to know them, you found so much more about who they were? You're like, didn't know that about you, right? This past Thursday, my day off, I was at a Starbucks reading and reflecting while my car was getting an oil change. And so as I'm sitting there for a little while, two older gentlemen, Bob and Steve, they sit down next to me. And Bob commented on my laptop's wallpaper, and I've got the Cubs logo on there. And he's like, oh, you're a Cub fan? Because I'm a Sox fan. And we had a big laugh because the Sox are so terrible this year. The Cubs aren't doing too bad. But anyway, we started talking. Okay, they're in their upper 80s, and they had both lost their wives recently in the last few years, and 50-plus years of marriage. So I'm just sitting there. We're shooting the breeze. Bob, in particular, is just telling story after story. I'll say a word, and that triggers a story. You know how it is, right? You say another word, another story comes shooting out. He was in the military. He was born in New York, but lived in Michigan, the upper part of Michigan, and he's now lived in Illinois for many years. He's got two kids. He's got two grandkids, right? And same with Steve. Bob worked in computers, and he traveled quite a bit. Steve was in real estate. Just strangers sitting down having coffee at Starbucks. They meet every Thursday for coffee, and they have lunch with a group of friends on Fridays. And I remember commenting, I said, I think it's really great that you guys still meet, you're still friends after so many years that you come and you find this friendship is still, it means something to you. We've all met people in life as we got to know them. We learned so much more about who they were. Some things we learned about them maybe were good and some not so good, right? Total strangers that turned into friendships. How? Well, through a common hobby or at work or at school or at church or on a sports team or you live in the same neighborhood and we slowly get to know them, right? Dating someone we like that turned into marriage. How? How does that happen, right? By talking to them on the phone. Do you guys remember the fake hang-ups when you were younger? You hang up first. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. I'm going to hang up now. No, you hang up first. Am I alone here? Am I alone? Anybody remember that? Back when phones had a cord, you know, and they were connected to the wall. But by talking to them all the time, right? Going on dates, spending a lot of time learning about each other. It's impossible to learn something new or about a person all at once, right? We should still be learning new things about our spouse, new things about our friendships and relationships in our lives, and about people we know. The marriage grows stronger and deeper the more that we invest in it. Friendships develop and expand and mature as we spend time with them. Well, the title of my message in this series, What We Believe, is Jesus. You know what? Jesus, right? Let's add on to the inspired foundation of God's Word and the belief that there is only one true God, and today with the belief in the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, it sounds funny that I'm preaching about on Jesus. I mean, He's the one we talk about every Sunday, right? In some way or another. And like the topic of God last week, we could learn so much about Jesus as well. I could dive into the many promises and the prophecies relating to Jesus, His ancestry, His birth, His early years. I could focus on His baptism and what that means. I could share about the temptation and triumph over Satan. I could spend weeks on His public ministry and what He taught. I could spend months dissecting His parables, the stories that He told. Then there are the many conversations that Jesus had with so many people like Nicodemus and the woman at the well and the rich young ruler and the man at Bethesda. conversations with the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the lessons he taught his own disciples as they walked from town to town and he preached in the synagogues. I could talk about the miracles he performed for so many people. I could dive into the Last Supper and the agony he experienced in the garden, his betrayal. I could talk about this false arrest and this false trial in court and the brutal, absolutely brutal crucifixion. I could share about his death and his burial and his resurrection and how he appeared to so many after being alive. I could preach on Jesus, the advocate, the author and the finisher of our faith, the only begotten of the Father, the bridegroom, the teacher, the judge, the cornerstone, the deliverer, the mediator. I could still preach on Jesus, the head of the church, the high priest, the lion in the tribe of Judah, Messiah, prophet, the great physician, redeemer, truth, and the Word of God, and so much more. So, for the next 52 Sundays, what did your pastor preach on? Jesus? What does the deity of Jesus Christ mean? It means that Jesus is God in human flesh. Jesus is God in human flesh. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." The whole nature of God himself lives in Christ's human body. The whole fullness of deity dwells in Jesus. The word fullness means full measure, completeness. One commentator wrote this, "In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, not just 99.44%, but 100%. Jesus wasn't just God-like, he was God. Jesus is equal with God the Father. He is worshipped as God, as the Creator. I read this week that Jesus claimed deity and taught his disciples to pray in his name. He claimed that he and the Father were one and that he was the very Son of God. Jesus also claimed that to know him was to know God, to see him was to see God, to receive him was to receive God, to believe him was to believe in God, and to honor him was to honor God, and to hate Jesus was to hate God. You see, there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus, but don't believe that he's God or God's Son. They believe he was only a good teacher, a rabbi. They believe that Jesus was a good leader, someone who looked out for the underdogs of society. They believe that Jesus was only a humanitarian going around and helping people. And Jesus was all of those. He was a good teacher. He was a good leader. And he did help people. But he was and he is also God. It really matters that we know the truth of who Jesus is. Jesus is God. That he is the eternal Son of God. Scripture declares, right, about the deity of Jesus that we should know, right? First thing is Jesus was born of a virgin. Matthew 1, look, the angel said, "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. You see, if Jesus were conceived and born just as any other baby, then he would not be God. It was necessary for Jesus to come into the world through an earthly mother, but not through an earthly father. God is his Father. Jesus lived a sinless life. Hebrews 7, he is holy. He has no sin in him. He is pure and not influenced by sinners. Jesus is holy, innocent, blameless, pure, undefiled, faultless, unstained, untainted from any and all sin. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And in ministering to them, his character and his conduct were not defiled in any way. If Jesus sinned just once, you guys, he wouldn't be God. Game over. We'd be wasting our time right now. But he was and is sinless. Jesus had supernatural power to perform miracles. Acts 10:38, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Story after story in the Gospels of Jesus healing the sick and restoring sight to the blind and even casting out demons. What else do we want to know about Jesus? Jesus took our place on a cross, on the cross. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. 2 Corinthians 5, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Sinless, Jesus was the only one who could die for our sins. Our pride, our lying, any sin that goes against God and His Word that put Him on that cross. We're all guilty. Jesus took our place on the cross. Jesus rose from the dead, Matthew 28, and the angel said, He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as He said would happen. Come, see where His body was lying. Again, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, We have no hope of rising from the dead in the last days. Again, game over. But He conquered death, proving that He is God. What else do we want to know about Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 2, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now He is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. Jesus is at the place of honor at God's side. With time, and with study, and with an open heart, we can get to know Jesus. We begin to learn so much more that we didn't know before as we spend time with Him. Again, I know that I read a lot of scriptures here, and believe me, I could have read a bunch more on the topic of Jesus' deity. But like last week, here's my heart. I personally want you to know Jesus like I know Him. I'm still learning new things about Jesus. I'm still in awe, still in wonder of what He's done for me. You might be thinking, what real difference does it make that I believe in Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And those are really good questions to ask. And I would venture to encourage you just to ask those questions to the Lord. He'll show you. Jesus is God in human flesh. Now, pause for a second. It can be very difficult to wrap your head around the thought that Jesus is fully God and fully man. Do we know everything about God? Do we know everything about Jesus? We don't. We're never going to know everything. And it's hard to, when He was on this earth, He was fully man, flesh and bone. He had pain. He hurt. He cried. He felt emotions like you and I do. But He was also fully God, sinless. Liberal theologians have taught that Jesus wasn't divine and shouldn't be worshipped as God in the flesh. And the average person on the street would say, well, it doesn't matter if Jesus is divine or human. It just doesn't matter. But it does matter that you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Good teacher, yes. Good leader, yes. Humanitarian, yes. All those things. But you're leaving one out. He's also God. He's God. It matters because of where you'll spend eternity. Jesus, the deity of Jesus Christ. So what do I know about Jesus personally? Well, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves you. God sent His Son into the world for you because God loves you. Football season's around the corner. We're going to see the John 3:16 posters, right, in the end zone. That's a pretty impactful verse because God loves you. If you believe in Jesus, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus willingly went to the cross to die for you. Jesus loves you with an everlasting love that will never end, no matter what you do. Paul reminds you how much Jesus loves you when he wrote in Ephesians chapter 3. Check this out. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. There's a song we sing, Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How wide, how deep, how great is your love for me. And when you experience the love of Jesus, it's overwhelming. How his love for you is too great to fully understand, but you know it when you feel it, when you experience it. And it's more than a feeling, right? I think that's a song too, but it's more than a feeling. It's a truth. It's a truth of God's word. Despite how you feel, you may feel unloved. You may feel like you're the worst person in the world, but Jesus loves you. In 1860, Abraham Lincoln was just elected president. And a few short months later, April 12th, 1861, the Civil War began. Anna B. Warner, in a tension-filled nation, wrote a song. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. In case you don't know it, yes, Jesus loves me. How do I know? For the Bible tells me so. You have to remember this. Jesus loves me. You need to tell yourself that. The second thing is Jesus is with me. Jesus has just risen from the dead, and you can imagine the disciples, right? They saw him die on a cross, they saw him buried, and now they saw him alive, and now their hope's been renewed, right? But they are sad now because Jesus is going back up into heaven. And just before Jesus ascends, as the disciples are with him on the mountain, he reminded them, and he reminds you this morning in Matthew chapter 28, you can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of the world. Jesus had to go and the Holy Spirit had to come. We know that. We talked about that in a series. But Jesus himself is saying, remember, you can be sure. You can count on me being there. Jesus himself will be with you until the end. See, this isn't a promise. This is a fact. The writer of Hebrews, he quotes Deuteronomy 31 when God says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. I will never forsake you. I will never turn my back on you. You may feel like you're alone. You're not. The world may say you're alone, but you're not. I'm here. I'm with you. So today, no matter what you face, Jesus is with you. Jesus loves me still today. Walking with me on the way, wanting as a friend to give light and life, love to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. What? The Bible tells me so. He really does stay with you. He never leaves you alone. So remember that Jesus is with me. The third thing this morning, Jesus saves me. You see, you needed someone to save you from your sins. You needed someone perfect to die in your place so you can stand before a just and holy God. And because Jesus was and is sinless, he's the only one who can die. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this, God wants everyone to be saved and to know the whole truth, which is there is only one God, and Christ Jesus is the only one who can bring us to God. He's the only one. Jesus was truly human, and he gave himself to rescue all of us. You see, Jesus is the only one who can reunite and reconcile God and humanity. He's the only one. Jesus stepped in and rescued you. God wants you to be saved, that you need a Savior to do that. A preacher was preaching, and at the close of the service, a stranger came up to him and said, I don't like the way you spoke about the cross. I think instead of emphasizing the death of Christ, it would be far better to preach Jesus, the teacher and example. Well, the preacher replied, if I presented Christ in that way, would you follow him? I certainly would, said the stranger without hesitation. All right then, said the preacher, let's take the first step. Jesus never sinned. Can you claim that for yourself? Well, the man looked confused and somewhat surprised. Why no, he said. I acknowledge that I do sin. And the preacher replied, well, then your greatest need is to have a Savior, not an example. You need a Savior. You see, Jesus was a good person. Jesus was a good example. But that's not what you truly need. You need a Savior to save you from your sin, your shame, and your guilt. I'll continue with the song, Jesus Loves Me, He Who Died, Heaven's Gates to Open Wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You need to remember, Jesus saves you. What we believe, it really matters what we believe and who we believe in. It's foundational. It all starts with this book and ends with this book. Everything you need to know about truth and your eternity is found in this book. You're not going to find the recipe for Rice Krispies in here. There's a right way and a wrong way to make Rice Krispies, but you could find truth that matters more than Rice Krispies or how to build a building. You're building your life on this book. You see, without the knowledge and the truth of the deity of Jesus Christ, the knowledge that Jesus is God and God is Jesus, we will build our lives on sand. And when the storms come and when the storms rage, your life will crumble. We not only know the truth of who Jesus is from God's word, the Bible, right? But we also experience what Jesus has done in our lives. Personally, he loves me, he's with me, he saves me. There's a lot of theologians in this world that are a million times smarter than me. But you know what? It boils down to, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. When we see Jesus, we are seeing God. Jesus is God in human flesh. What we believe is important when we face a real hardship. Who we believe in matters when we face a real storm in life. Believing in God's word, believing in the one true God, believing in Jesus won't prevent us from going through difficult stuff. But we have all of God himself, and we have God's promises found in his word available to us. God is with us. We have the one true God, a Father to us. We have Jesus Christ, who understands our weaknesses, who gets us, who's with us during those storms. When I was visiting with Bob and Steve there at the Starbucks, I learned that they had been friends for more than 50 years. But as we started talking and sharing stories, I learned a lot more about who they were than just a couple of old gentlemen having coffee together. Something I learned, I may see him again. I don't know. When we first meet Jesus, we learn that he loves us, he's with us, and he saves us. But there's so much more to who He is. There's an old song we used to sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Let's pray.